Network and online at 1037thebuzz.com.
Welcome back. Jim Fraserback Pizza, Highway 10 location. I would like to invite all of you and the entire Buzz sales staff to come out for lunch. But I'm not buying. I do want you to come by and see us, though. We're going to have a good time. We will go to the Stinky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Michael Shoddy of Bleacher Report joining us now, the NFL lead writer, to talk a little bit about the league. Michael, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I wish you could join us here at Jim's Razorback Pizza today because there's something for everyone, but unfortunately I'm assuming that's not going to happen.
No. I'm on a diet anyway, so no pizza for me.
Bro, great salad bar here. You need to come check it out sometime. Where are you based?
I am in northern Florida, just south of Jacksonville.
Okay, very good. They got a win there, so I'm sure they're pretty happy around Jacksonville now, or do they care at this point?
Well, it's almost kind of six in one, half a dozen in the other. A lot of people are happy they finally got a win. Other people are now worried that we might not be in first place in the Teddy Bridgewater sweepstakes.
Is that exciting? I have not heard his name mentioned since they lost, to be honest with you. I mean, that doesn't mean he's not still a great player, but I don't hear people talking about him as much.
I think there's some luster off of him, just like there's luster off Jadeveon Clowney. As we focus the college football season on the teams that are winning, the Alabamas, the Florida States of the world, I think Louisville gets pushed to the back a little bit, just as, everyone outside of Alabama, Florida State, maybe Texas A&M has gotten pushed to the back a little bit. When we get to draft time, I think you're going to hear Teddy Bridgewater's name quite a bit.
Yeah, well, tell everybody in Jacksonville that you can get Jonathan Martin or Richie Incognito in free agency for a song.
Absolutely. This is a situation where all of a sudden, I mean, these guys aren't free agents yet, but Richie Incognito is going to be after the season. They're keeping him suspended because that, for their salary cap, is the better move. But I don't think he's going to play a game with the Dolphins ever again. With Martin, it's a little more tricky because the Dolphins, at least the Dolphins brass, want him back. But he doesn't feel like he can go back into that locker room. And it seems as if maybe some things are going to come out where it wasn't just Richie Incognito that was treating him the way he says he was treated.
Michael Shoddy joining us, BleacherReport.com, and dinged up quarterbacks has been sort of the issue of late. I'm a Green Bay fan, so obviously the situation there with Aaron Rodgers is extremely disturbing. You've got the situation in Tennessee where you've got a quarterback now out for the season, and of course Peyton Manning was in the news last week getting hit. He says he's going to be fine to play this week. Does that change at all your thoughts on the Denver-Kansas City game this weekend?
It does. I originally had this going a home-and-home split for this season because the Chiefs are a really good football team. As much as we malign their offense and Alex Smith, the guy who's running it, this is still a really good football team, and I had them going home and home. But now actually I have them beating the Denver Broncos this weekend because
the
phrase I've been using is blood in the water. When that defense realized that Peyton Manning was going to come into this game at less than 100%, they are going to go all out to hit him. I know that Peyton Manning deals with that on a weekly basis anyway. Every quarterback does. But it's similar to what we saw last week with the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. Because Jay Cutler was hobbled, those guys allowed themselves to get some 15-yard penalties, knowing that they had to hit him every single play. So they racked up the quarterback hits, got a couple of penalties in the process, but at every chance, whether it was legal or not, they took their shots on Jay Cutler, and he didn't finish the game. I think something very similar is going to happen on KC in Denver.
Michael, last week the New Orleans Saints hosted the Dallas Cowboys and spanked them and sent them back to Dallas. Do you think that says more about the Cowboys or more about the Saints, the way they're playing right now?
I think it says more about the Cowboys. This is just an atrocious defense, and the only thing that was keeping it kind of on level was Sean Lee. And so when Sean Lee left that game, I mean, Drew Brees just had to start licking his lips. This is going to be a fantastic performance for me because Sean Lee, the only defender who can stop me, is no longer in the game. So it says something about the Saints that they're able to take care of business, but I believe we're going to see a lot more about the Saints this weekend against San Francisco, 2 weekends from now against Seattle, and they have two games against Carolina at the end of the season. If they can't sweep those four games, or at least go 3-1 in those four games, we're talking about maybe a team that isn't going to be able to hang with the big boys as much as we thought previously.
What do you make of San Francisco? They are 6-3, but they have seemingly underachieved, especially when you consider a 10-9 loss to Carolina. Admittedly, Carolina's got a very good defense, but their offensive struggles have been fairly well documented the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think that it's really a tale of two seasons. Their offensive struggles really ended a couple of weeks ago when they recommitted to this power run game. Well, the problem was they recommitted to this power run game, and that's all they had going into a game against the best defensive line in football. I mean, when you're trying to run straight at Greg Hardy, Star Lotulelei, guys, Charles Johnson, guys like that, when you're running straight at them and trying to run straight at a guy like Luke Kuechly, you're not going to get anything done. And that's what happened, that they didn't have a complement to their power run game. I think they're going to have a much better day on the ground against the New Orleans Saints. And when push comes to shove, as the season is closing out and Michael Crabtree gets back to full health, I think we're going to start to see that offense moving a little bit. The question for the San Francisco 49ers is not whether or not they make the playoffs, but it's whether or not they can secure home field advantage, because I think they're a much more dangerous team, as is every team in the NFL, if they've got home field advantage when it comes to playoff time.
What do you make of Seattle? Everybody knew they were going to be good coming in this year. They did have some moments where they looked not so impressive offensively. I know they had a couple of injuries there, but then they just exploded last week. Is this a team that you think, you know, may be among the best, if not the best, in the National Conference?
Oh, absolutely. They're in the discussion, especially now with Percy Harvin back. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him in Minnesota. So often we get to situations like this where we can't wait to see how they utilize a player, and then it never really materializes. Think about Tavon Austin before this past weekend. We were all so excited post-draft, how they were going to use him, how he was going to save Sam Bradford's career. Well, it took Sam Bradford being injured, Kellen Clemens coming in, and them having no one left to lean on to use Austin. I think Harvin is going to be in a similar circumstance where he might end up seeing his most touches when Russell Wilson has no one else to throw to, when it's really just the two of them on the field, two elite athletes trying to make things up, almost drawing up plays in the sand. They're in the discussion, but I think what you said, that they've had trouble against some inferior competition, that at least is informative to me. I saw that last year with the Texans. I saw it last year with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not saying that the Seahawks are on a similar train, but you have to be able to close out games. You can't play down to competition, whether you're at home or on the road. You have to close out weaker opponents. So far this season, we haven't seen that week in, week out from the Seahawks.
Speaking of Tavon Austin, obviously they blew out the Colts last week, and that was just a freakish performance. It was really I didn't see the game, but the highlights were fun to watch for sure. The Colts looked a little bit confounded most of the game as well. They go on the road, admittedly not a full-strength Titans team. Do they get back on track this week, do you think, and do they look a lot better offensively than they did last week?
Oh, absolutely. I think the Titans have a few really good players on defense. Jarrell Casey is one, Altron Werner is another at cornerback. Those are guys who can change a game, but I don't think they have enough of those guys. They don't have enough solid guys around their playmakers, either on offense or defense. On offense, the biggest problem is you don't have Jake Locker anymore. Mm-hmm. Jake Locker, as much as he's had a slow start to his career, was really kind of heating up this year, and now that he's out, Chris Johnson's just going to have the box stacked against him. I don't know if they have a chance against the Colts.
Michael Schottie, Bleacher Report, .com's NFL lead writer, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. I'll tell you, one of the great surprises for me, I guess really you got two of them facing off in the game on Monday night, New England being able to stay relevant, and not only that, winning their division going away right now with all the injuries they've had and the replacements and losing Wes Welker. And then Carolina, which I guess I didn't expect to be among the highly competitive teams, but as good as they are defensively, and I think at last check they were number one in overall defense. But those two teams have been very pleasant surprises for me this year.
Yeah, we talk about the Patriots in almost consistently negative terms, but they're still a really good football team. The problem is when we look at the New England Patriots, we expect to see the Patriots from the Randy Moss, Wes Welker era, and that's not what they are now. But what they are is they're a team that, when everyone is together, when everyone is clicking on the same page, can put up still 30, 40, 50 points. And now that Gronkowski is back and healthy, I think that's going to have a ripple effect across the entire receiving unit. And this is a team that is now very dangerous. And I have them beating the Carolina Panthers this weekend because I think they're just overall a better team. And they've been there before. They've been in the trenches. So with Carolina, you're right that it's a surprise. This was a team that for years I said, you have to beef up the defensive line. You have to beef up the offensive line, too, but last year they were so bad because Ryan Khalil, their center, was injured, and they had no way to stop people from running up the middle. Luke Kuechly was a great addition in the last draft, but without big bodies in front of him, he didn't have as much space to work as you might like. So now that they've added Starlo Toulet, Kawan Short, all of a sudden they're a much more fearsome unit, a fearsome front seven that masks the deficiencies in their back four, and if you can keep the score low, that allows you to do all the things running the ball with Cam Newton that you want to do. If the game gets away from you, he has to go to a one-dimensional pocket passer, and that's not where he's best.
A couple of off-the-field things I want to ask you about, and I'm not going to talk about the Martin Incognito thing anymore because it's been sort of talked to death, and we'll see if anything develops there. But a couple of guys in trouble this week and a couple of guys that are going to play this weekend. Jerome Simpson with a DWI, Dwayne Bowe busted with pot in the car driving around and arrested. Both these guys are going to play. Dwayne Bowe, who has not contributed in any great way this year to Kansas City, is going to start this week after the arrest. I think it sends a terrible message not only to the rest of the team, but to the NFL as a whole and really society as well. I don't know. It bothers me a little bit. I don't want to come down too hard on these guys, but to not even sit them for a half. And I realize, especially like a team like Kansas City, you got a huge matchup this weekend with a team you're trying to make a statement against in your own division. But goodness gracious, that just to me is – it just reeks, and that's no pun intended about the marijuana, but anyway.
Yeah, this is kind of how the NFL plays things out. The NFL and teams could come down on things like this stronger immediately, but they tend to wait for the legal process to finish. And the reason they do that is because if they're going to have a guy go to jail for 90 days, there's his suspension right there. He's going to lose those game checks. But more importantly, I think it says something to the tune of you're innocent until proven guilty. You can't start suspending the guy or start punishing the guy when there's a chance, albeit however small,
right,
there's a chance that maybe he gets off. There's a chance that maybe Jerome Simpson challenges and says there was something wrong with the breathalyzer. There's a chance that Dwayne Bowe, gets a high-priced lawyer and it really was planted.
Lawyer. See what he did there?
You hate to speculate,
mm-hmm.
But some of these things, I look back to this past offseason where we saw Adrian Peterson got into trouble because of a bar incident back in Oklahoma, and it never really happened. Like, it sort of did, but it didn't happen the way witnesses said it did, and there weren't any charges, but people were already calling for his head that, this, and now we just don't even remember it because nothing really came of it. So I think I agree with you that it puts a bad taste in my mouth. Again, no pun intended. But there's something to be said for wait till the legal process plays itself out, then you come down hard on these guys.
His lawyer says he's 100% innocent, apparently citing Bo's passenger's claim that at least some of the marijuana was his. My understanding, though, is if they've got marijuana in the car, that you're basically culpable as the driver of the vehicle. I guess it'll sort itself out. But the whole thing is, he did make a bad decision, and to then in turn, let the guy start the next game, at least show some sign. And he did apologize to the family of the ownership, to Coach Reed, to the teammates, to the Chiefs fans for the distraction. So, while that's not admitting guilt, I think he's going to end up admitting some guilt. The other thing that was kind of funny about that was, and clearly they don't have a Jim's Razorback Pizza in the greater Kansas City area. After he was stopped, the receiver asked the officer whether there was whether the nearby Sonic was open. So the dude had the munchies. Here's the other thing, too. Much akin to the Toronto mayor. I don't know how you can smoke crack and be that fat. I don't know why you smoke weed and then speed. I don't get that. Those two things do not go together. There is an incongruity here that bothers me. He was going 48 in a 35. Isn't pot supposed to slow you down? I don't smoke it, and I certainly don't smoke it then drive. I'm just assuming. It bothers me. I understand the munchie thing, though. I understand he wanted to go buy Sonic. That I get. Tater tots have got to be good when you're stoned. I don't know. All right, Michael, I won't even ask you to comment on that, but I do appreciate you coming in today, and we thank you very much. So I'm going to the Saints game this weekend. Do you like them this weekend? Do they win? Because I'm very excited about watching that game in person.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a much tougher game, so a much better game to watch than the Dallas contest. But quite frankly, I don't think the Saints lose at home.
Okay, very good. I like that. Michael, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. You can follow Michael's work on BleacherReport.com and occasionally get to hear him in the zone as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Michael, thanks. Have a good weekend. All right, let me get Todd in here, and we're going to take a timeout and come back.